podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good morning. Welcome to the Talking Cop. It is Thursday the 4th of April. It is the 30. It is 10 a.m. We're back. We have been up to our eyes busy, but we are back. Apologies that the 30 hasn't been around a lot in the last little while, but it's just been manic. With work and, of course, the kids off school, those Easter holidays literally are 2 weeks long and they feel like six. So, it's one of those. I literally can't wait for the kids to go back to school. So, like, 10 o'clock in the morning just becomes, like, the norm. I just get up, do some stuff, podcast stuff, and then we go on with our day and we meet back up at 10 p.m. at night. It's just been absolutely ridiculous with the kids off school. I don't know what we're going to do during the summer. I'm going to have to lock them. Jesus, I'm going to have to lock them in a room or something like that. Johnny Doyle is in. He says, howdy, y'all. Garen Mack is in. He says, good morning. Just Hannah says, morning. It's been forever since I caught one of these live streams. Ah, busy. Right, good stuff, like myself, but glad you're here. Jim Bowles is here. Brian O'Sullivan says, Jesus, I miss playing golf. Is that because you've been watching our golf channel? Bang Average Golf, one video went out the other day. One video is going out tomorrow. And there were two good videos. The other two we have are Brutal Golf, but a great laugh, just to give you a warning on that. But anyway, this is the 30, where we do a little bit of talking about football, a little bit of talking about random stuff, and today's random stuff will include Easter eggs and grated cheese. Not exclusively together, but they will include something along them lines. If you're in the chat, smash the like button, then we know you're there as well. Where are we going to start? Well, last night. Let's start at last night. Man City beat Villa 4-1. Arsenal beat Luton 2-0. Fully expected. I seen a couple of people, online and stuff like that going, oh, do you know what? No one's going to, like, we're not going to get any help off anyone. No one's, like, putting it up to, look, Arsenal were always going to beat Luton. And City were always going to beat Villa. Villa had no Ollie Watkins. They're missing a couple more players. It was just one of those where Villa never win at Bleeding Man City. I think Man City have beaten 13 times in a row at home or something like that. Something ridiculous like that. Yes, they beat City earlier in the season, but they never win at the Etihad, ever. So I was fully expecting all three teams at the top this week to win. Of course, Liverpool played tonight. But, look, Arsenal 2-0 against Luton. It looks like Arsenal made a couple of changes. They did. They made 4 or 5. They were 2-0 up at half-time, I think. Yeah. And then I think they just... Everyone just called it quits at 2-0, surprisingly enough. But they did. So they've both won, but we expect to win tonight. So it's the best way to look at this is win tonight, 8 games to go and we're still on top. You know, the weekend is huge. The weekend's absolutely huge. I think, is it Arsenal go to Brighton? We go to United, and I'm not too sure who City have. They might have Bleeding Luton or something. I don't know who they have. Something will, or somebody in the chat will tell me who City have, but I'm really sure Arsenal have. I think it's Brighton at 5 o'clock on the Saturday. Couple of things on last night, though. A few people in our members chat were saying Phil Foden. Yeah, he's phenomenal. I'm saying it ages and ages and ages. He's a brilliant, brilliant footballer. He just has a head that as Keith says, he scrawls on his own neck with crayons. But he's a brilliant, brilliant footballer. It's just his face does me head in. Watching him play football, though, absolutely exceptional. Exceptional player. He was really good. Gets a hat-trick for City last night. Let those fixtures go. Don't be worrying about them. But I can see where people are going, Arsenal win and everyone, nobody's going to get a point off them. You know, Arsenal have harder games coming up. City have harder games coming up. They also have European stuff thrown in as well. So everyone's in the same mix. You know, we have a game tonight. City are away to Palace on Saturday at 12:30. Yeah, there you go. So that's not the easiest place to go, not the hardest place to go. But look, that's the way the fixtures are. We know where they are and we go with them. But on to tonight, Liverpool home to Sheffield United. This should be straightforward for Liverpool. It should be 3 points. It should reduce. I think Arsenal currently have about 7 or 8 goals on us. We should reduce that down. if you can get that down to 2 or 3, if Liverpool win 4-0 tonight, I'm delighted. Win 4-0, out of the way, you're ahead of Arsenal on points, you're 3 goals behind them on goal difference, that can move either way as the season goes in. Looking at Liverpool though, couple of injury updates. It looks like, I think Curtis Jones and Andy Robertson may be available for this evening. According to Jurgen Klopp, Alisson is looking good. Jota and Trent in with a chance of training next week. So after the United game, we should see Jota and Trent back in training as well. So to see all these players coming back is really, really good. Garmax says Brighton were beyond boring last night. Let me see. Chris Black says, morning all while walking. Yeah, walking. Like it. Arsenal aren't winning all their away games. City record away to Spurs isn't great, he says. Man United away is the only real tough match we have left, in just Hannah's opinion. No, there's more than that. I don't know whether it's the only tough game we have left. Like, we do have Spurs at home. Everton away is a derby, and you know we should be beating them. But I think that run of I think it's Fulham, Everton, West Ham, 3 in a row in that week away from home, I think will be a huge, huge factor in where this league title is going to end up. I think if Liverpool were to go and be like, we have Sheffield United, we have Man United, we have Palace, that's the next 3 games. If we come out with them with 9 points, you know, you could nearly afford, I think, one negative, i.e. draw, in one of those 3 away games. But I'd expect to go to Fulham and win. I'd expect to go to Everton and win. And West Ham, you don't know who's going to turn up, but I'd expect to go and beat them as well. And then after them, you're looking at, I think it's Spurs at home, Villa away, Wolves at home. And, you know, the Villa away won't worry people, but it all depends where the top four races by then. You know, you could literally do damage to Spurs, which means put Villa away from Spurs, and then you play Villa the next week, and Villa know they're going to make fourth or fifth or whatever. The thing is, like, it's not even a race for fourth now, it's a race for fifth. So if United were to lose against Chelsea on Thursday, and which is today, sorry, and lose to us on Sunday, they're not making top four or five. And then you see Villa and Spurs kind of going, we're all right. We're all right here. And we're getting them just at the right end of the season. Chris Brack thinks 8 wins and a draw. Faster Tortoise says 7 wins, 2 draws. I think 7 wins, 2 draws is the target it should be. I think if you win 7 and 2, I think Arsenal have to win 8 and 1 and City have to win all 9. And I just don't see them doing that. Listen, if you're in the chat, hit the like button. Keep your comments coming in, and yeah, we'll keep going till 10:30. Where were we? Yeah, so tonight, look, Sheffield United have conceded 77 goals, I think, in 29 league games. They're bottom of the league for a reason. It's for me, like, I think Faster Tortoise is there, and I think that's Steve. It is Steve. He says, please, please, please don't let us concede the first goal. Yeah, right. And Garmack says, we need United to win tonight, bounce into Sunday, full of confidence. Then we proceed to slap them about. I'll get on to United in a minute. Kev O'Sullivan says, if Villa are safe in top five while still playing in the European semi-final, then they could take their eye off the ball. Yeah, there's loads of little things going on that you kind of have to look at. Just wait till the game comes up. You know, we can make all these sort of, oh, there and this and there and that. Like, completely get Kev's point. I think it's more, if they're safe in the top five, it'll be like, ah, look, that's perfect. Do you know what I mean? And I think these next couple of games could be huge with regards to United on that. But with us tonight, it's all about being professional. It's all about getting through the game, no injuries. It's all about if you can put a couple of goals up. Sheffield United are no good. They're no good. Teams have gone there and absolutely slapped them about away from home. They're actually a bit more competitive when they go away from home, I think. Team's gone to Bramall Lane and won, like, I think Villa won 6, we won 2, Newcastle won 8. I think there's 4s and 5s in there, but away from home, they're probably a bit tighter, you know. But listen, Liverpool need to go out there, do their job, win the game. You know what I mean? I don't want people going, we want 7 and 8 nil, 2-3, 4 nil. I'm absolutely fine with it. Liverpool, if you give me 2-0 tonight, comfortable, no injuries, 3 points, I'm taking it all day long. All day long. So that's where I'm going with. Team-wise, Kelleher in goal. Robertson may be back. I think he'd stick with Bradley at right back. I think he'll go with, I think he might do Quants and Van Dijk again. With Canate maybe coming on at some stage, thinking ahead to Sunday. He may go Gomez, and then he can move Gomez across the right back for Bradley if he wants to bring a Robertson or a Tsimikas on there. Midfield, Endo has to be assessed. I heard that. I heard that yesterday. So, yeah. He has to be assessed. So, midfield-wise, I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen like a McAllister, Sobers, Loy, Elliot kind of mix if Endo wasn't to play. I know Gravenberch is back fit. He got on a little bit, didn't he, against Brighton? I think he came off the bench, didn't he, if I remember right, near the end. Or was that Gakpo? I can't remember. Was that Mount Bleeding? Mount of them that come on. But there's a few more options coming back in midfield there, and of course with Jones coming back now. And if he's available, and put him on the bench. Get him on the bench, get him 20 minutes, great. Up front, it'll be, I would actually start Gakpo. I would start Salah, and I would start Nunes. I give Diaz a little break. But then off the bench, you have got a Diaz. You have a Gravenberch. You have a Jones. Then defensively, you could bring on a Canate and say a Robertson for a Bradley and a Van Dijk if you wanted to change. Or there's plenty of options there. Endo and Darwin on 8 yellows, think cut off is after Man United. So yeah, listen, once they get through this game, they'll be fine. Just no yellows in this game. They'll be fine. They can take a yellow in the United one. So that's the lineup I go with. If you're in the chat and you have a lineup, throw them at me, and I will read them out. Let me see. Worried about United at the weekend, it would make their season to knock us back. Well, you see, I have a thing about this. I think if United lose tonight, I'd love them to go into a bit of a war with Chelsea, come out the other side with a couple of injuries or whatever, or a couple of doubts. Now, I know Lindelof's being ruled out, Lissandro Martinez is being ruled out. I think they're down to Johnny Evans, Harry Maguire and Varane at centre-half. But, of course, they were using Lindelof at left-back a little bit, so I don't know what they're going to do there. Listen, don't worry about United till Sunday comes. And when Sunday comes, Liverpool just need to go out and be Liverpool. And don't play the occasion. They've completely played the occasion and thought it got too easy a couple of weeks ago. So don't be worrying about that till Sunday, because you don't know who's going to come out with this, the other side of this game for us, the other side of the Chelsea game for them. You don't know what the results are going to be. You know, what's playing in it. Will it make their week? If it makes their season to knock us out or knock us back, maybe so, but they have much bigger worries than that. You know, another year out of the Champions League, and, you know, they were in it this year and finished bottom of their group. They haven't been in it for a couple of seasons. You know, it's They've much bigger things to worry about. Let me see. And Kev O'Sullivan says the same with Everton. Now, Everton are a different matter altogether, because Everton are not safe from relegation. They're absolutely appalling. They're not good at home. I think they might have 3 wins at home all season, I think. They don't play good football. They give up plenty of chances. They could have another points deduction. They have owners hanging over them that if they come in, I think will ruin them. But you have to. Liverpool, look, I would say if Klopp is doing anything this week and every week now, he's drumming into them. Forget circumstances, forget the emotions, forget the romance, forget this. We go out and we win a game of football, regardless of where it is or who it's against. Go out and beat them. Okay? Stick to our game. Don't be worrying about what the politics involved with Everton or United, whatever it is. We need that. That's what. Listen, it doesn't matter that it's us. Like, Man City or Arsenal are going to, like, Man City are going to Spurs, who are chasing top four. Arsenal have to play Spurs. They still have to play Villa. You know what I mean? They still have a couple. They've plenty of teams around them that are plenty to play for. And they aren't. The way they're looking at it is they're going and go win our game. Forget anything that's going on with that other club or the position they're in or anything. Just win that game. And that's what it has to be. That's what it has to be for Liverpool. Take the emotion out. Don't play the occasion. Play the opposition and beat them. And let's be honest, I think genuinely out of the top, past the top three in this league, I think the rest are, you probably have two or three on top of that are good sides. I think the rest of them aren't good. And I think it's shown that there's a three-horse race this year. It actually shows a weaker league for me. I think with the three of them up there with that amount of points, there's so many of them that just aren't that good. They aren't that good. What would be the most LFC way to win the league this season? In my opinion, we are drawing with Wolves and Gomez scores the last minute for us to win it by a point. That's how the season has gone. I don't think it gets down to that. I'm just putting it out there. I don't think it gets down to that. Let me see. Who's the ref? Someone asked who's the ref. Taylor's the ref again on Sunday, of course. Steve asked who's the ref. Don't know who the ref is tonight. Endo's is a doubt for tonight. Yeah, just Hannah says Everton literally have nothing else. Yeah, they have their actual survival as a club. They're in awful, awful fucking state. Like, people think, oh, if Everton stay up, they'll be fine, the new stadium. Not at all. Just not true. You know, they're going into next season where they've lost another load of money. They don't have any money to spend. If they're in the same position ownership-wise next season, they haven't a bleeding being, right? But if they get these new owners, every asset they own is under severe threat because every penny that's being put into Everton at the moment is being put in by 777, who are taking out loans to give Everton a loan. So they will want their money back. 777 are only going in there to protect the loans, to make sure they force dibs on all assets, to get rid of them, to pay back their own loans. They are an absolute mess. An absolute mess. Like, it's beyond a joke. The club has been run into bankruptcy, says Chris Black. I believe so. And then he's asking about their second PSR charge. I think that might have been last week, I think, but then we'll find out. I think they all have to hear by April the 15th, I think. Gary D says, the FA Cup match was a good kick in the arse for us against United. We'll be better prepared for Sunday. They won't catch us twice. I've said it. If we drop a single point at Old Trafford on Sunday, I'll give €100 to the GoFundMe. So that's how confident I'm of Liverpool reacting. Chris Brack has Kelleher, Gomez, Kanate, VVD. Oh, okay. Simikas, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch, Salah, Gakpo, Diaz. Okay, a little bit different to me. But listen, options coming back, options off the bench. It's all good. Endo only getting rested tonight so we can clusterfuck his boot up United's hole on Sunday, says Brian. Last time Taylor was ref for Man United versus Liverpool, we won 5-0 at Old Trafford. Look, predictions for tonight. I think Liverpool win. I think they might win 3-0. You know, people wanting the goal difference to be smashed and stuff like that. I think if you look at Arsenal last night, Arsenal took the opportunity to make 4 or 5 changes to their starting lineup and played a 45-minute game of football, essentially. Won the game, moved on. And I think Liverpool might be in that position where, you know, I think if we were level on points with Arsenal, or we're winning to go level on points, you might see a bit of a goal difference push. But at the moment, points tell you that the goal difference is not really making. It's not huge, especially if you win 3-0 tonight. There's 3 or 4 goals in it. They can be eaten away in a game or two. And I know there's only 8 left after tonight. But at the moment, it's down to points, not goals or goal difference. So I would take 3-0. I'd love Gakpo to get one. Love Gakpo to get one. I'd love Harvey Elliott to get one on his 24th birthday. Happy birthday to Harvey Elliott. I'd really like him to get one. And sure, Jesus, if Joe Gomez could stick one in, it'd be great. Can't see it, but why not? Let's go with Joe Gomez. Let me see. Let's go on to some random stuff. Brian asks, anyone see Tigers' plans to play the Masters? Stop. Is this a bleeding? Is this a fucking April Fool's joke? A late April Fool's joke? Anyone see Tigers' plans to play the Masters? He's given up having sex to have himself best prepared to play the Wii. It doesn't matter what sex he's having or what he's doing. His body can't get him around the course. It's all to do with his back and his legs. His legs full of bleeding. There's more metal in his bleeding legs than, you know, than a shopping trolley. He's all over the place. He can't get around. He can't get around the course. If he's trying to play the Masters, put money in him not completing the Masters. Not completing 2 rounds of the Masters. That's what my bet would be. It's up. I feel sorry for Tiger Woods, on a couple of levels. I think he's refusing to let go of who he is, and I think the PGA are refusing to let go of Tiger Woods. You know, he must be close on 50 years of age now. I would say he's close to 50 years of age if he's not beyond that. He's been in a horrific car crash. His leg and his back is in an awful state, and. he just can't do it anymore. He's still a brilliant, brilliant golfer. Don't get me wrong. But he can't get around. And unless they give him a buggy to go around, which they won't, he just won't. He won't complete the Masters. He won't. Even if he made the cut of the Masters, he won't. He can't do four rounds. Like, people think, I walk around. That Augusta course is up and down, up and down, up and down. Strenuous on the body, believe it or not. You know, when you're playing it under that pressure and you're walking that course, there's no flat areas on Augusta. So you're walking up and walking down, and both of those put stress on your legs and your back. Just not good for him. Let me see. What else have we got? I want to go on to Easter eggs in a minute, because the amount of them floating around the gaff is absolute abomination. Let me see. Gary MacDonald sent a message in earlier to us. He's 48, yeah. He's 48. So I go, well, it's not Gary MacDonald. Don't know what age he is. But let me see. Gary Mac says, I saw a man eating a bag of grated cheese in his car at 7. Jesus Christ, that's disgusting. Ah, oh, lads. A bag of grated cheese in your car at 7 and half 7. That is disgusting. I used to walk with a fella and used to bring in a block of cheese to walk. And he'd, you know, the way you cut slices off this block of cheese, a cheddar, whatever. But he'd be scraping it with his fingernails, you know, the edges of it. And he'd be eating it. And then he'd be fucking cutting it down and all that. But bag of grated cheese in the car at 7:30 in the morning is disgusting. Like, it's not grated cheese. Look, grated cheese, or I throw in a sandwich. I'm a bit big team with cheese, where I don't really eat it unless it's, you know, melted. So when I'm making sandwiches for anyone in the house, I cut up with the grated cheese and go on and go, wow, fair enough, right, here's the sandwich, it's not me eating it. But eating it, like, imagine it, like, as soon as that comes out of the fridge, right? As soon as it comes out of the fridge, you're in your car and you're driving along, right? That's just getting warm, that cheese. And then you're just eating grated cheese. Jesus Christ. No, not for me. No, not for me. Grated cheese in the car. But the amount, isn't it mad the thing you see people doing in cars when they're driving, you know, trying to eat and drink, and women trying to do makeup. Like, I used to drive for a living, and Jesus Christ, you know, you'd be driving along and you'd look down, and there'd be a woman driving along and she'd be doing her full makeup in the car, and, you know, I've seen fellas driving along reading books while they're driving. You know, mad stuff goes on, but the grated cheese stuff is not good. Johnny Doyle says, like people, like he's nearly vomits at the thought of people drinking Red Bull as soon as they wake up. I'm not a Red Bull fan anyway. Never have been. Easter eggs. Just Hannah says, I love a bit of cheese, but preferably with... Oh, sorry, I read that completely wrong. Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, Hannah. It's early. I read that completely wrong. So what I read was, what Hannah said was, I love a bit of cheese, but preferably with something else, i.e. bread, butter, you know, ham, with a, you know, whatever, with toast. But I read that as, I love a bit of cheese, but preferably with somebody else. And I was like, okay, Hannah won't eat cheese unless someone else is eating it. Sorry, but yeah, no, put it with something else. But like, just putting your hands in the bag of grated cheese and eating it. Even the texture of that. Oh, no, it's not for me. The amount of people watching Netflix as they drive. Yeah, so all these cars have... I think you can do it on these... The autoplay in the cars now, where you can link to your phone and link to your thing. But I'm not sure if you can do it while you're driving. But obviously you can just stick your phone up on a mount on the thing and watch it, and Bluetooth to the speakers. Brian O'Sullivan says, I seen one doing 150 on the motorway doing her makeup, looking in the mirror. Madness. Yeah, it is. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. When I used to drive, the stuff I used to see people doing in their cars, absolute madness. I've seen, you know, laptops open on the passenger seat and all, and mad stuff going on. But anyway, apologies to Just Hannah there, because I read that completely wrong. It's still making me laugh. But Easter eggs, there's too many of them going around. There's fucking too many of them going around. Like, what's the average of point? Like, first of all, adults shouldn't be getting Easter eggs. Like, let's be honest. Should we? Nah. Right? So I don't ask for an Easter egg. Usually what happens is, My wife will buy two Easter eggs, one for me and one for her, and the kids give it to us. And then it just goes back into the general pile that's there, and people eat whatever they want to eat. So it's one of those things, right? But and then we got the kids. So what's the average of buy the kids? Now, my wife usually gets them a big egg, a medium egg, and a small egg, three eggs, then some sweets and bits and whatever, right? But my God, right? The other day, Easter. Like, it's actually stupid. So we gave the kids all our stuff, right? And then we went around to the family, and we came back with, I'm not messing with you when I say we came back with 14 or 15 Easter eggs. And I was like, who are these for? And my wife was like, well, they're for her and they're for him, and that was for you and that was for me. And I was like, who's buying me Easter eggs? Who's buying them for me? You know what I mean? I'm a 42-year-old man. Look, I don't need an Easter egg. Now, I know people like their Easter eggs, and I know I'm going to upset people with this, but I'm sorry. If you're an adult, come on. Like, you don't need an Easter egg. Let your kids get loads, right? Rob a bit off them at night when they're gone to bed. But you don't need, oh, I'm going down to me ma to get me Easter egg. You don't need to. Kat says, no, I'm not having this, Kat. I don't believe you. Gav, I eat crisps with chopsticks. You don't eat crisps with chopsticks. You can put grated cheese in the packet with a little soy sauce and it's grand. Stop it. Please, for the love of Jesus. It's absolutely mental. The M7 every morning has a 3-car pile due to fellas making TikToks in that one litre car, says Joe Delaney. Yeah, that's another thing. Doing your TikTok videos or your Instagrams or wherever live is fucking mad. And you know what the gas thing is, right? If you have that phone in your hand and you're looking at it, you can get arrested or points or whatever. If you have that mounted on your windscreen, you can touch whatever, you can do whatever you want with it. No one can do anything to you. Isn't that mad? That's absolutely mad. I don't think, like, if there's going to be a law against the mobile phone in the car, it should be a case of that screen shouldn't be on in the car. I don't care where it's standing. I don't care what it's doing. It shouldn't be on. There you go. Let me see. Heard on the news, says Kev. Well, I don't know how true that is. There was over €25 million spent on Easter eggs in Ireland this year. We have a population of just over 5 million. We have a problem. So every single person on this island spent a fiver on Easter eggs this year. Every single person. So that is mad. That is fucking mad when you think about it. Just Hannah says, I've no kids, so haven't had an Easter egg in decades. Stop it. Hannah, you're messing. But I remember the Cadbury's buttons once being boss, and you got a mug with the egg. Yes. Well, the ones I do remember with the mugs was the Cadbury's cream egg. Let me see. And Johnny also says he read that Tesco was busier over Easter than Christmas. It's fucking mad. It's mad. There was just aisles of Easter eggs, and then they're all gone. And you well believe it when you actually see what the carry on was on Sunday. Like, I don't mind kids having Easter eggs. The only problem is they just kind of have me chocolate for about 2 weeks after, and you have to tell them it's all gone. It's not. It's in the fridge or it's in the press. And you have to kind of drip feed them after the first couple of days because they're mental. But what we come back with there on Sunday was off the charts. Chris Brack says, note to chat, don't buy Gav an Easter egg or grated cheese. Only thing worse would be getting Gav anything Tommy Tuchel related. I'm starting to worry if Tommy Tuchel's going to make his way up the bleeding list for Anfield. 25 million because those Lindor eggs are about 40 quid each, Kev. The Lindor eggs are quality. The Lindor is quality. 3 eggs for €4. Sure, how can you not be going buying them for yourself? I'd say there's loads of people do that. Just buy a few eggs for myself there. You know, stick them in the fridge. Same as buying a packet of Penguins. You know, they convince themselves. But it's absolutely off the charts. I'm not having Kat telling us she's eating crisps with chopsticks. She's no way am I putting soy sauce on top of grated cheese in a fucking bag. And I'm not having that Hannah hasn't had an Easter egg in decades. Because if that's true, I'd be nearly tempted to get her address and take an Easter egg from out of this gaff and post it to her. I don't think I have one with a mug. That's the only thing I'm going to say. A Tommy Tuchel shaped Easter egg. No, not for me. forget the manager stuff anyway. I'm not talking about it. I won't be talking about it in the morning here. I'm not talking about Liverpool's next manager. We have a manager. We've games to win. Stop worrying about the next manager. Genuinely. Stop worrying about it. I think that's it. We've done about 30 minutes. I've enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. If you're in here and you haven't hit the like button, please do so. If you're listening back later, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple, whether that's Spotify, or wherever you get them. Leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars. That'd be great. Our 2024 fundraiser is there. The link is in the description, whether you're listening, watching now, or listening later. If you're going to buy yourself an Easter egg that's gone out of date at this stage, or the shops still have a few, don't. Give us the fiver into the GoFundMe. It'll really help. I think we've just passed €2,000 in the GoFundMe. So what we're doing is we're sending €1,000 each to the Lighthouse and to Fansupport and Food Banks. We'll keep a record of that as well. But we will be sending them €1,000 each to keep them going, because we're approaching the time of year where, you know, particularly for Fansupport and Food Banks, where they won't have matches outside grounds in about a month's time. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. So we've passed the 2,000. They're both in the 1,000 each, and we go on to the next 2,000. If you can spread the word, please do so. Amongst all your Liverpool friends, like everyone at Liverpool, you know, if you're being in Anfield, you pass these lads with Fansupport and Food Banks. If you're in any city in basically the UK and Ireland now at this stage, you will see people struggling to make ends meet, people queuing up to, you know, get food, get clothing, whatever it might be, because that's the way governments are running us into the fucking ground right now. The likes of the Lighthouse is another great place. They literally feed people, they clothe them where they can. It's an amazing organisation, and I'm telling you that from not a direct personal experience. I haven't had to queue for food or clothing or, you know, help out with whatever it might be, but I do have somebody very close to me that works with these people on a weekly basis and sees what goes on and collects for them. And honestly, a brilliant place. So if you can donate to them, it'd be brilliant. Fields Quest is in there as well if you want to do that. And football prizes have a new prize up where you can win a chance to spin a wheel, loads of signed jerseys with the certificate of authentication. I think you have Thiago in there, you have Gerrard in there, you have Torres in there, you have, I think might be Elliot in there. There's a few of them. The link is in the description if you want to check out that prize. It's $3.95 a ticket. It closes next Monday at 7 p.m. if you want to get your hands. There's loads of them. There's instant prizes. There's tickets to Liverpool versus Atalanta. There's so much going on in there. So if you're watching now, hit the links in there. If you're listening afterwards, in the show description, you'll see all those links. Help us out. Don't give us any super chats. Don't give us anything. Just give us your eyes and ears for the rest of the season. And if you're going to donate any money, do it straight to there. Don't be trying to give us super chats and stuff like that. All right. Let me see. The golf day. Brian O'Sullivan says, great calls, lads. Anyone who can make the golf day, even if you don't play, come along. Mighty day. The crack with great lads. Yeah, we're organising that golf day. We're organising that evening as well. I have to do that in the next couple of days. If you want to play, let me know. The amount of players that said, I want to play, and boom, 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 and then they just don't come near you. It's appalling. It really is. I was on the verge of just calling it quits on the golf day, but we have close to 20 players now, so I'm not giving it up for them. I don't know how much money we're going to make on the day, if anything, because getting sponsors is ridiculously hard for it. It's €100 to sponsor a tee box. It's €100, €150 to sponsor a long drive, and it's €150 to sponsor nearest the pin, all of which goes to the charity. So, look, if anyone out there has a business, knows someone that has a business and wants to sponsor us, get involved, talkingcop1@gmail.com. There's loads of information there, I know. But listen, we're trying to do it for good causes. We're giving up our time to organise this golf day. Yeah, we get a good day out of it, fair enough. But we give up, and me in particular, I give up so many hours in my week trying to organise all this stuff. And if people can come along and play, it'd be absolutely amazing. And if you can sponsor, absolutely amazing. TalkingCop1@gmail.com if you want to play or sponsor, and that's where the big money will come from to help out these two amazing organizations. That has been your 30. We've gone to 34 minutes. That's me waffling about good causes. I'm sorry. Liverpool play Sheffield United tonight. We will be back tonight. Kev, Matt, Ashley tonight from 10 p.m. We're reaction to Liverpool versus Sheffield United. Have a good Thursday. Let's get 3 points. We're winning the league. Up the Reds.
Social Podcast Network.